Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm John Cook, and I'm joined today by George Goncalves, MUFG's head of U.S. macro strategy. It's Tuesday, May 3rd, 2022. Welcome back to the podcast, George.
Great to be on as always.
Yeah, good to have you. So, George, before we get to the meat of this, which is going to be the FOMC preview, it feels like, you know, I'm just super happy to see like every month pass this year from a bond market perspective, because every month is, you know, is worse than the last, if you will. Q1 was terrible. You put out some pretty cool charts, I think, showing that like every single asset class across the various spectrum of different asset classes, maybe except for commodities, had, you know, horrible performance. But so that was terrible. But April, you know, certainly wasn't much better. So I guess the question is, you know, like, we're only a month into the second quarter, but what are the differences between? Tell us a little bit about what happened in Q1 and so far in Q2, and what are the differences?
Well, John, you're remiss from saying good riddance, but I definitely, you know, I'm happy it's a new month. We have April behind us, but, you know, what a interesting turn of events. It's really, we're going on the fourth month, and there's really been no stop in sight, at least for the bond market, in terms of the losses we've seen and in the drawdowns in various asset classes. I mean, I think the difference really, I think we're starting to see this pivot from what was initially a repricing of rate risk to now a broader repricing of financial conditions and, you know, and how the other segments of the asset classes out there, like equities and credit, are starting to kind of go their own way. I think that's the biggest difference. I mean, granted, they also were under pressure in Q1, but I think now it's really shifting away from just being, you know, high quality liquid assets that have been under pressure, like treasuries and mortgages, to now a real broadening out. And then eventually it's going to be primarily focused, I think, on risk assets and less so on treasuries. I mean, that's more of my view, but I think that's what we're starting to see. And, you know, it's come in various different channels. It's come from the, you know, from the dollar channel. You've seen now how the dollar has impacted the global risk assets, with the dollar outperforming, with the movement in real rates. So there's clearly a tightening of financial conditions that's, you know, it's in progress, and I think it's not over yet.
So it sounds like a bit of an evolution, maybe starting with riskless assets moving into risky assets. And that's a lot, you know, really resonates with me in terms of things you've been talking about. Really, how much can the Fed, you know, hike later on in the year if risky assets really start to take it on the chin? But I suspect I'm probably getting ahead of us here. So let's get back to the question on everyone's mind, which is the FOMC. As a reminder to our listeners, we're recording this podcast Tuesday, May 3rd. Fed's already started deliberating, but they won't release the statement until tomorrow. Tomorrow at 2 p.m. So, George, why don't you quickly recap a piece that you just put out on the FOMC, your FOMC preview, and tell our listeners what they should expect from the Fed at the May policy meeting.
Sure, absolutely. And so tomorrow's May 4th meeting conclusion of the FOMC, it's a non-quarterly FOMC meeting, so we're not going to get any updates to the economic forecast as well as the interest rate dot forecasts. But, you know, clearly, in the statement as well as Chair Powell's press conference, he's going to have to mark to market the economy. And, you know, it's been kind of a mixed bag between, you know, still a solid and healthy, in some ways, super hot jobs market, relative to, you know, we're seeing some unevenness in economic activity. Inventories have been built up. There's been anomalies that have, you know, impacted how GDP ended up with a negative print. So it's going to be interesting to see how they characterize that environment. And of course, the ongoing conflict in the Ukraine has, as well as now lockdowns in China, are, you know, resulting in further other issues that could compound the supply chain disruption. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Fed couches all of that. But even, you know, though those things are more on the negative side, I think the Fed really can't take its eye off the inflation ball, and they're going to still deliver a consistent hawkish message that they've been delivering for the last 6 weeks since the March meeting. It's been unwavering, and in fact, it's been, you know, building upon itself. Each time a Fed speaker speaks, they all try to out-hawk each other, and that ends with a big sort of out hawking by the street, trying to figure out where the Fed's going to ultimately go. So I think that, you know, tomorrow is not the right time for the Fed to sound dovish. And so I'm expecting, you know, the Fed to see through some of these short-term factors, which could be bigger problems down the road, but they're not going to let them impact their decisions now. So we should expect, you know, what's priced in of a 50 basis point hike being delivered. You know, the real big thing for this meeting is, you know, the anticipation of which will hopefully likely be delivered, which is the quantitative tightening. I say hopefully, you know, under my breath, because let's just get it on. Let's get it, you know, started and see how quantitative tightening works through the system. It's going to likely be twice the speed that we saw in the last quantitative tightening back in 2017, 2019. And it's going to start sooner. And so, you know, and also in tandem with the hikes, which are being supersized. So I think, you know, for us, you know, our view in the short term is, you know, not too different from consensus out there that that's going to happen. And then we'll probably see more of that over the course of June and July. But I think the further we get into this, and once these, you know, really large 50 basis points or even higher rate hikes get delivered, we'll see if the, you know, broader markets can handle it. But for tomorrow, I'm thinking, you know, deliver on the baseline of 50 as well as QT. There is some risk for even additional hawkishness where they perhaps can establish a facility to proactively sell securities if they need to, and maybe even start QT sooner than others are expecting. So there's definitely more. I think I'm leaning more to the hawkish side. I mean, the markets have, you know, bounced back recently, but I just, you know, broader markets have bounced back. But I think it's more short covering. I don't think it's going to last. I think the Fed's going to be hawkish, for at least for the next 6 months to 12. I'm sorry, the next 6 weeks to the next 12 weeks.
Yeah, thanks. You know, as one of my clients said, you know, details matter. As many of our listeners probably noticed, the Fed's reverse repo facility hit an all-time high of just over $1.9 trillion at the end of the month in April. So they have plenty of reasons to start QT, that's for sure. But you know, let's go into the details. I really like in your piece how you have three different scenarios. You have a base case, you have a hawkish scenario, and a dovish scenario. Let's get into those details. Take us through the three scenarios for the benefit of our listeners.
Yeah, just quickly. I mean, we do this every single Fed preview, where we have a base case which, you know, tends to be neutral relative to expectations because it's usually priced in. And in this case, it's the 50 bips as well as the QT is what most are expecting. So I think that's nothing really stands out, but I do think that's the base case here, and I have a high probability of 65% chance of all of that being delivered. You know, we've gotten enough details at the March FOMC minutes. We have a January press release, which discussed a balance sheet that, you know, at some point will have less mortgages. So they have to start soon. And that would be phased in over 3 months and likely start in June. The more hawkish scenario, which I was kind of alluding to before, given where rates are now, and if they were to head even higher, you know, at current speeds or slower, you know, mortgages will not really prepay fast enough to regularly hit the $35 billion cap, which most people expect the Fed will use going forward. And we'll find out tomorrow if that's the case. But either way, it's going to be hard for them to actually shrink the mortgage book if rates stay where they are. So, you know, there might be a need to actually proactively sell. So this idea of establishing a facility or some sort of a, you know, mechanism of operations of how to sell back, I think, you know, if they emphasize that, it'll be codifying a process, and that should, you know, come across as hawkish. And they could also start QT in May versus June, you know, basically right after the meeting, they can start shrinking. And on a more dovish side, you know, I think like have a very low probability of 5%. So the hawkish scenario is 30, base case is 65, and dovish 5%. I really just don't think they can afford to be dovish at this point. It's too soon. It could, you know, really backfire. And if they're worried about inflation expectations becoming unanchored early, this would do it. So it's only the second hike, for goodness sake. So they better, you know, at least deliver on the first two or three hikes. They have to deliver with conviction that they mean business, because they're really trying to change the trajectory for inflation. So I think that's the right way of doing it. But I think further afield, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But I do think that, you know, tomorrow's a hawkish outcome. And unlike what we saw, you know, from a market implication, unlike the March experience where the Fed hiked only 25 and it was kind of a neutral message, not really too hawkish, You know, there was a decent relief rally in assets 2 weeks after that meeting, and the quarter ended up reversing some of the losses, but then April was that much worse. So I just don't see the Fed delivering enough dovish fodder tomorrow to actually elicit a risk market rally. But we are in short term oversold conditions for some of the equity indices as well as credit. But I would think that if that were to happen, it's not going to last too long.
That's great stuff. So it sounds like plenty, despite the fact it's not a quarterly meeting, and we don't get any summary of economic projections, it sounds like there's plenty to watch for. So again, 65% expectation in your base case of a relative neutral outcome in line with the March FOMC minutes. But watch out for that hawkish scenario where they potentially, discuss some of the details about, QT and therefore set that process in motion. So, there's a lot more in George's piece, so I really would encourage our listeners to check it out. It's entitled May 2022 FOMC Preview and Market Implications. And if you still aren't receiving George's strategy reports, please feel free to get in touch with him or me, and we'll get you added to the list. George, great stuff as always. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, John.
And thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.